بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we will begin with the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal to look into chapter 79 Surah An-Nazi'at. And generally speaking, the surah begins with Allah the Almighty swearing by the angels and talking about them and their different tasks. Then Allah moves on to speak about the two blows of the trumpet, where people are annihilated and then resurrected again, and how they would be and what they would talk about. And then Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about what happened to some of the nations before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tells us about Moses, peace be upon him, Musa, and what he did with Fir'aun, with Pharaoh. And Allah Azza wa Jal asks those who worship others than him, would give them an eye-opener to look around them and ponder upon his great creations. And Allah would show them some of his favors and blessings, and then he would remind them of their inevitable destination, whether it's heaven or hell. And then Allah Azza wa Jal concludes this surah by talking about how people wonder when the day of judgment would be, when the hour would be, and that they should ponder on the fact that when the hour comes, they will reflect on their previous life and they would estimate it to be few minutes rather than hundreds of years. Now this surah is a Makki surah, and we spoke about this before, but it is important to know that there are certain characteristics of the Makki surahs. And scholars say that the Makki surahs focus on purification of worship and having the full tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the 13 years that the Prophet spent alayhi salatu wasalam in Mecca, he would focus on purifying the people's hearts from associating others with Allah, and in implanting, injecting the beautiful names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what builds iman and faith in the hearts, and that is what we lack most. When we're asked about the beautiful names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, we have no idea. But if one of us is planning to travel to a new country for a couple of weeks on holidays, he would definitely do his due diligence, and he would do his research, and he would know the places to go and the places to stay away from. Also, among the characteristics of the Makki surahs is that it establishes belief. So it talks a lot about the Day of Judgment, about the angels, about the messengers, about the books, about the destiny and the preordainment. All of this, Allah Azza wa Jal builds up in the hearts of the believers. And this is the foundation that people's belief should be based upon. And that is why it's called pillars of Iman. Likewise, we find that the Makki surahs establish a system of morality, and they focus on the general concept of forms of worship, generally, not in detail. So they say, pray, give zakat, do this, do good deeds, not in details, because the details came afterwards in Medina. We find that the Makki surahs focus on the previous nations that the Arabs had glimpses of. So they know Ad, they know Thamud, they know what had happened to the earth at the time of Nuh and the floods. They know about what the Jews say about Moses, peace be upon him, and what the Christians say about Isa, peace be upon him. So they reflect on those stories. They highlight what had happened to those who disbelieved so that the people would learn a lesson from that. And finally, among the characteristics of the Makki surahs, that they are short in verses and wordings. So it's only few words and then another verse, unlike the Madani surahs, where you have long verses with lots of rulings and verdicts, and etc. So this is, in a nutshell, how you could differentiate between the Makki surahs and the Madani surahs. Verse number 1 in chapter 79, An-Nazi'at. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى. And this translates to, by those who pull out with great violence. Now, this is not sufficient information to some and say, so what is those whom Allah is swearing by? And why does Allah swear? See, in Arabic, when I say, Wallahi, I will do this, this is a form of taking an oath or swearing to confirm that I'll do something. So, by saying, by Allah, I'll do this thing, I'm emphasizing that I'll do it, and that is why I am taking an oath. And in Arabic, there are three letters that are considered to be an indication of an oath. Wa, ba, and ta. So if I say wallahi, or billahi, or tallahi, all of these are forms of making an oath. Now, as Muslims, we are not allowed to take or make an oath except by Allah Azza wa Jal or one of His beautiful names and attributes. So I can say, Wallahi, wa izzatillah, all of these things are considered to be an oath. And if I make an oath with other than Allah or His beautiful names, I would be committing an act of shirk. So if I say, by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or by the Kaaba, this is shirk. Because whoever makes an oath with other than the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, he has committed shirk. Now when it comes to the Quran, Allah, the creator of all creations, the owner of what you see and what you do not see, He has the right to make an oath with whatever He wants. And no one could object to that because He's the owner. He is the legislator. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal makes or takes an oath or swears with whatever He wants. And usually He has given us an indication to the honor and the status of the things that Allah Azza wa Jal is swearing by. So here, the most authentic opinion is that Allah, in the first 5 ayahs of this surah, Allah is swearing by the angels. So, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى. Allah is swearing by the angels that pull out in violence the souls of the disbelievers. And don't be intimidated. You should be. But don't be intimidated at the moment. You have to understand this fact and reality. On the Day of Judgment, there are either believers or disbelievers. There's nothing in between. So it's either hell or heaven. There's nothing in between. And that is why this is something that you have to realize before you die. What are you? A believer or a disbeliever? One would say, in my religion, I'm a believer. Well, in the side of Allah, are you a believer or a disbeliever? How would I know? Well, you have to look into your religion. Is it accepted by Allah or not? Because if you look around, you will find a gazillion religions on earth. Only one is accepted in the side of Allah. Why is that? Because this is a logical thing. You say right, I say left. You say day, I say night. So, what is right at the side of Allah? This is what you have to do. This is what you have to apply the acid test on. So if you confirm that your religion is the religion of Allah, if you confirm that the book you have is the authentic book and the word of Allah, then you're in good hands. But make sure that you are. As a Muslim, I claim, and I can back up my claim, and I stand by it, that my religion is the only religion accepted by Allah. And my book, the Quran, which we're interpreting and giving the commentary on, is the final revelation of Allah, the Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So disbelievers, wait until your souls would depart your bodies, because then you would see the light and you would see the truth, but it would be too late, unfortunately. Now you have the chance to think it over. Take a day off. Just put yourself in seclusion and think for Allah's sake. Think before it's too late. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا, the angels that pull out in violence the souls of the disbelievers. Verse 2, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا, and by those angels who gently take out the souls of the believers, not the disbelievers. So we have two types of angels. Angels that take the souls out of the disbelievers violently, and those who take out the souls of the believers gently. And why is that? We have a break. We'll discuss this after it, inshallah. So stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا. Allah Azza wa Jal is swearing by two types of angels, one that takes out the souls of the disbelievers violently, while the other takes the souls of the believers gently. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا, meaning that it's a description in Arabic when you take a ribbon and you tie a knot. And the simple type of knot is when you hold one part of it and you pull it and the knot is untied. So it is almost the same when the nashitat, they will untie this knot and take the soul of the believers in a gentle way. A long hadith by Al-Bara ibn Azib, may Allah be pleased with him, where the Prophet described, alayhi salatu wasalam, how the angels of death take the soul of a disbeliever as if it's a grill or a rod of iron with different thorns coming out of it, is put into wool that is wet and then extracted from it. Because when they want to take the soul of a disbeliever, the soul is so terrified that it goes in each and every part of the body, and this is how they take it out of it. While the soul of a believer comes out in a gentle way as if it is a drop coming out of a water bag. So people think and say, I've seen so many Muslims suffer so bad and then they die. Well, I had seen a lot of disbelievers, Christians, Jews, Hindus, whatever. They are on their dying bed and they die so peacefully and nicely. So how do you explain this? There is a difference between what people face before their actual death and the actual exiting of the soul from their bodies. The soul, when it is exiting the body, the terror and pain and agony is not seen. And what happens before that is not an indication of anything. See, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam suffered before dying. And he used to put his hand in a pot with water and wash his face and say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti sakarat. He would say that there's no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah Azza wa Jal. Death has its toll. And this happened to the best of Allah's creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, his wife, said, I would never hate suffering before death to any of my loved ones after what I had seen with the Prophet alayhi wasallam. Because this is an indication of Allah's love to them. How would that be? How would Allah love people and make them suffer before they die? You don't see the whole picture. The Prophet told us, alayhi salam, that calamities and suffering and pain would remain with the servant of Allah until it leaves him without a sin walking on earth. Meaning that this suffering erases his sins. The more you are suffering, the more pain you are feeling and undergoing, this means that Allah Azza wa Jal is forgiving your sins. So when you die, you actually die without any sins to be held accountable for. So this is different than the actual extracting of the soul. For a believer, all this pain and agony, the minute they come and take the soul comes so gently without any problem, as if it is swimming. And this is the following ayah, وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا. While the soul of a disbeliever is extracted in a very painful way, though you see that he's dying and passing away in a peaceful manner externally, but actually internally he is in hell, literally suffering from all of this. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the third ayah, وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا. He swears with those that swim along. And this is in reference to the angels again. Of course, there are other interpretations. It is the planets in their galaxies. It is the stars going around. But this is the most authentic opinion. These are the five types of angels Allah is swearing with. فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقًا. And by those that press forward as if in a race. And the angels are like this. They're racing. They're fast. They're faster than lightning. When Allah commands them to do something, when Allah orders them to do something, they do it immediately. No hesitation. No slowing down. Whatever Allah tells them to do, they do it. As Allah described the angels of torment in hell, that they never disobey Allah and they execute whatever Allah ordered them to do. And finally, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا. And by those angels who arrange to do the commands of their Lord. So, there are angels that do what Allah tells them to do. And these angels do not help Allah. And be careful. Allah Azza wa Jal does not need anyone or anything. Allah Azza wa Jal does not need help. There was Allah and nothing was with Him. Nothing. He is so independent, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He created the throne, when He created the kursi, when He created the heavens and the earths, when He created the angels in their billions and billions of number, when He created everything, He did not create all of these things out of need, because He does not need anyone. He does not need the throne to be over. He does not need the angels to carry the throne. He does not need anyone to do anything, but it is His majesty and power, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He created all of this and He ordered it to do whatever He wishes to do. Now, there are numbers of angels. We have the archangel Jibril, and we have the angel Israfil, and we have Mikael. These three angels are appointed for things related to life. So Jibril is appointed to carry revelation, and this has the life of the hearts to the believers. Israfil is appointed to blow the trumpet, where he would resurrect with the grace of Allah the people from their death and from their graves. So this is life again. And Mikael is the one appointed with the rain to fall and the plants to grow. And again, this is life. There is an angel of death. People call him Israel, but this is not his name. His name is the angel of death. There is the angel of hell, appointed for hell, and he is the hell keeper. His name is Malik. And there is angels for protecting the individuals. There are angels on your side writing the good deeds and the bad deeds. There are angels of different types and forms. These angels, it is a pillar of Iman to believe in their existence. It's an honorable form of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't see, but we believe in. Allah created them from light, unlike the jinn who were created from fire. And it is a well-known fact to most of the people that angels are attributed or always remembered with beauty, while devils are always remembered by ugliness. And they never sin. They're so pure, they never sin. We're told in the Quran that they have sets of wings in two, threes, or fours. The Prophet told us, Hassan, that Jibril, who is the greatest of all angels and the biggest and the strongest and the closest to Allah, he saw him with 600 wings blocking the horizon. And they do not have a gender. We cannot say they're male or female. That is why it is totally prohibited to call a female, your daughter, with a name of an angel, or to say that she is an angel. This is totally prohibited, because this is what the disbelievers said, that they made the angels daughters of Allah Azza wa Jal. They made them daughters, females, and they made them to Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is all nonsense. When children laugh, when infants smile, they say, oh, look at him, an angel is making him laugh, and this is nonsense. This is baseless. And they would describe the nurses to be angels of mercy, and this is haram. And they would describe someone who sings beautifully to have an angelic voice. They are so huge, some of them. The Prophet ﷺ said that I was given the permission to speak about one of those who carry the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. The distance between his ear loop and his shoulder is the distance of traveling for 700 years. Imagine how far that is. They pray for the believers whenever they are in the masjid or gathering in a circle of knowledge. They protect the individuals from what comes before him or behind him or on his side. They are related to the humans since they were born. So they write their provisions, their age, whether they're good or bad. They write all of their good deeds and bad deeds. And they're bashful of the believers. They are away from bad things, and they're always in your house, protecting you, supplicating to Allah, and asking Allah for mercy for you. And that is why Allah loves His angels. And that is why Allah honors them. And Allah swears by these five types of angels. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.